Ready?
Okay, you're on.
Okay, Sunday morning, this is August 7th, 2022. We're going to do a teaching first, and we have a couple of prophets' corners afterwards, but an unusual title today. And I don't know why the Lord would have me bringing this up at this time. I won't say it's stuff you don't know, but we're going to revisit some things, and for whatever purpose, take it and say, okay, Lord, it may be something that you need later, and you'll hear my voice saying whatever. The title of this, Who Are the Seed of the Serpent? All right, Genesis 3:15. Y'all there? And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy heel, and thou shalt bruise, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I was just reading here my commentary. I was just curious right quick. Let me look through it. Well, this is pretty good, actually. This commentary is not very good, but on this point right here, the verse has long been recognized as the first messianic prophecy of the Bible. Thus, it also contains the first glimpse of the gospel. It reveals three essential truths. One, Satan is the enemy of the human race, explaining why God put enmity, related to the word enemy, between thee, Satan, and the woman. That he would place a spiritual barrier between thy seed, Satan's people, and her seed, God's people. And that the representative seed of the woman, a human being, would deliver the death blow. Where did it go? To Satan. By in so doing would he bruise himself, it or he shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Refers to Christ's bruising on the cross, which led to the eventual crushing of Satan and his kingdom. So that gives you a little idea of the seed of the serpent. Think about that. Whenever the thing happened between Cain and Abel, really Genesis 3 is when the seed war began. All right, we're going to look now at Genesis 4. A lot of people, the Luciferians, believe that the serpent or the green man actually had a sexual relation with Eve, and that she conceived Cain, and then she taught Adam the trick, and then she conceived Abel. But I don't know that I believe that. It says she was beguiled, and it does indicate a sexual act, but not necessarily. It's kind of like the sin of adultery. It's something you think on and dwell on, and you conceive it before you do it. All right. Verse 1, And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground and offered unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? Now, it's also thought there's a great probability that Cain did eat Abel. God saw the blood. The blood had cried out, but there was no body, which is a trait of the Nephilim. And he said, "Why hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Now thou art cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall be thou in the earth." And Cain said unto the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven out this day from the face of the earth." So he's driven out from the face of the earth. Where'd he go? "And from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth." In the earth. Listen to that. That's where all the said extraterrestrials, or whatever you want to call them, the grays, the whatevers, the reptilians, all these said places, all these things, they're all underground. I even heard something this week that the reason that they're trying to coat the sun, is that the reason? Something they're doing to try to, so that the grays and the reptilians can come up on the surface. Let's think about it. I didn't write this. "You'll be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me." You know, there's a lot of information out there about inner earth. Antarctica and inner earth and the cities under Antarctica and all of these different things. Are they true? I don't know. "And the Lord said unto him, Therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod, east of the garden, or east on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch." Now Enoch was a man of God. He took his own rapture by faith. So that tells me Cain had a choice. This isn't about, if he was born of the serpent's seed, you would think that he would not ever be able to do right. It would just be born in him to do evil, right? But no, he was seduced to the dark side, if you will. "So, and bare Enoch, and he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. Now in the book of Enoch, which has been taken out of the King James Version, it talks about a place where God took him. He went to that was ice and cold, sounded like Antarctica, where he was taken up. Guess it's something we'll find out. "And unto Enoch was born Irad, Irad Mahujiel, and Mahujiel Methuselah, Methuselah begat Lamech." And on the lineage goes. So I heard someone say the other day, Cain's not in the lineage of the sons of God. Yeah, he is. Right here you see the lineage. I'm going, I think that's what got my curiosity up. All right, just like I read to you, some believe that Eve had sex with the serpent. I don't think that they really had that had to happen. I believe it was just a seduction. Because sin, it's something you conceive in your heart to do before you do it. "So Cain was in the lineage, but his seduction by the devil caused him to lose his place. But he had a choice, just like Eve had a choice, and she gave it all away." People are deceived in their mind. What people don't realize is all that's going on today is the very same thing. It's been a huge psyop. It's been a huge propaganda movie experience to brainwash the masses. That's what we've lived in from our birth. We've been groomed on sci-fi from a little kid. I never missed a Star Trek episode. God said that the blood of Abel cried out to him from the ground. Where was his body? Did Cain eat his brother? This is classic of the Nephilim trait. The Illuminati, cannibalism is part of their cult. They're even pushing cannibalism now. Back in 2016, before I knew much of anything, I knew about Donald Trump. I knew that that's who God had chosen, and that's who I was to pray for. He'd spoken to me about the little secret of Michelle, you know, and Obama. And also, he spoke to me about speak against cannibalism. I thought, what? You know, cannibalism was, you know, the Tarzan movies we saw on Saturday morning. That's only context that I ever thought of cannibalism. Some big, deep, dark tribe doing some kind of demonic worship. No, he said, in this nation, speak against cannibalism. Little did I know that it's very widespread and popular among the elite. They even have restaurants in these big major cities that serve human meat. They even advertise it. Okay, we have found out that it is much more common than we thought. Can a son of God become a son of Cain? Absolutely. By choice. Cain had a choice. God said, you know, if you do right, you'll be rewarded, but sin crashes out the door. At the door. In other words, you can receive it or reject it. It's the seduction of the mind. All right. Cain had a choice. Sin crouched at the door, and he chose wrongly. Plain and simple. I am curious, though, that how did he go to the land of Nod and marry somebody if the man and woman were the only ones in the garden? Who knows the time span? I know Dana's read the book of Adam and Eve, and she says it was about 1,000 years before they even had the first baby or something. I don't know. I haven't read it, so I don't know. Every once in a while she'll bring it up. And I thought, well, I guess that would make sense, because we think in the scriptures, you know, it just happened Saturday night, and, you know, it just all these things, that was just in a week or two. But no, these are years. It could have been thousands of years that the man was in the garden and he didn't die. We don't know. All right, Isaiah 14. This is verse 29. Rejoice not thou, O Palestina, because the rod of him that smote thee is broken, for out of the serpent's root shall come forth a cockatrice, and his fruit shall be a fiery flying serpent. And the firstborn of the poor shall feed, and the needy shall lie down in safety, and I will kill thy root with famine, and he shall slay thy remnant. Talking about the seed of the serpent. How, O gate, cry, O city, thou whole Philistia, art dissolved. For there shall come from the north a smoke, and none shall be alone in his appointed times. What shall one then answer the messengers of the nation, that the Lord hath founded Zion, and the poor of his people shall trust in it? So the serpent didn't just beguile Eve and her son, but he began to beguile everywhere to subvert the nations. All right? Even Jesus called out the seed of the serpent. Matthew 23. He knows who they are. He calls his own sheep by name, and they follow him, but the voice of a stranger they will not follow. See, it's a seduction of the mind. It's according to what you decide to listen to, and who, the voice you decide to hear, and the one you decide to follow. And this is all leading up to a context that may be hard on you, but it's leading up to something. When I started this, I didn't intend to end up where it ended up. And you'll see in a little bit. Matthew 23:13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. What are they doing now? They're taking the money that could be used to help Americans that are suffering, and they're sending it to Ukraine. Well, we know what it means when they send it to Ukraine. It means they're laundering the money. It comes right back into their pockets. They'll sell all our oil, but they won't let us drill. Is that devouring widows' houses? I mean, absolutely doing everything to steal, kill, and destroy. They don't care about helping anybody. They don't care about Ukraine. Ukraine is just their child trafficking hub, adrenochrome hub. That's the Khazarian mafias. That's where their origination is from, Ukraine. See, right in Jesus' day, the Khazarian mafia was alive and well, and he addressed them on many occasions. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, you blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold. See, this faction's going on today. They're the ones that follow the Talmud, which is witchcraft, which is two Jewish factions, the Torah or the Talmud. Torah is God's law. Moses brought down. The Talmud is what they manipulated. And whosoever shall swear by the altar is nothing, but whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for rather is greater the gift of the altar that sanctifieth the gift. Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar sweareth by it and by all that things thereon. Whoso shall swear by the temple sweareth by it, by him that dwelleth therein. He that shall swear by heaven sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Jesus dealt with the same bunch that Donald Trump's dealing with. They treated him the same way. See, he's in the Christ line. He's being treated the same way. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at an ant, swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! These are the church leaders of the day. For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within dead, full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. The Lord knows who his are. He knows where each one is. And when he calls, we're going to come. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them that killed the prophets. Nothing's changed here. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, ye serpents. Now you know why he called them a serpent. They were the seed of the serpent. Ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye have killed and crucified, and some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, the son of Berechias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For saying, you shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Boy, he read them out, didn't he? Reamed them out. Luke 10:19. Don't ever forget this scripture. I don't care how many there are, which they really are a very small number. We are very many. They are very few. But they had the megaphone, just like the dog in the Grinch. He sounded like a monster when he was barking through that big megaphone. But he was just one little dog. 10:19. Jesus said this, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven, in verse 18. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. All right, we're going to look at Revelation chapter 12. We're going to see this seed war. Now, I just read to you in Isaiah about that fiery serpent, the flying fiery serpent. Dragon, in other words. Dragon. Where have we heard about dragons? And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, in pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. Here's the deep state. Here's the new world order. Here's the beast system. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and it did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. This is Genesis 3 we're talking about here, verse 15. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God into his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had the place prepared of God. And they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a times and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. The serpent cast out his water, her mouth, water, a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman. I tell you what, to me, that's that flood of propaganda that is trying to sweep away every person on this deceive. And the earth helped the woman. The earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. The dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. This war started in Genesis 3, verse whatever, whenever Eve listened to the mouth or to the voice of the serpent. This is the seed war. It's been going on for 6,000 years, or that we know. Okay. They're hell-bent on taking over the world. And I want to give you something else that will help you understand. Brother Hagin speaks about a woman minister in one of his books. I don't know which one it is, but this woman was beautiful. She was a minister. She had a beautiful singing voice. And the enemy would come to her and whisper in her ear how beautiful she was and how she was wasting her time. She could be famous, you know, and all these things. And the woman would resist and the devil would flee. Well, over the space of time, she began to give in to that voice. She ended up leaving her husband and going out and living in sin, sleeping around and all that that goes with it. And when this began to happen, the diagram that the Lord showed Brother Hagin was she had a black dot in her mind. A black dot in her mind. Well, I think there was some prophets and different ones went to talk to her and try to reason with her, and she would never listen to anybody. But one day she said, I no longer want the Holy Spirit. I yield myself to Satan. And the Holy Spirit vacated, and that spirit that was a dot in her mind took over her spirit, became her God. See, this was that seduction. She was seduced. Did she have sex with the devil? No. But she conceived to idolatry and adultery against the Lord in her mind first. All right. So you can understand what I'm talking about here, that it's not, I don't think it had to be a sexual act. Cain had a choice. I said, Lord, I don't know these people, you know. If there's a way that they can come to you before they are beheaded or before they're shot or hung or whatever, I pray that that would be. But I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure. I guess it depends on have they done what this woman did. If they have, they've committed the unpardonable sin as far as I'm concerned. That's the rejection of Jesus. Okay. All right, they both took themselves out of God's bloodline into the bloodline of the serpent. Is that what the Illuminati is? They're born with the intent to serve Satan and to do his bidding. They've sold out through blood covenant, literally drinking blood. Isn't that what Cain did? Yeah, I think so. They all had a choice. If Cain had been born of Satan, he would not have had a choice. I don't think. I believe that everyone, God has given every human that is born a choice. What master will you serve? Matthew 6 tells us that you can only serve two masters. You hate the one and love the other. All right. Now we know where these people are coming from and why they do what they do. All right. The scripture bears out that the battlefield between the seed of the serpent and the blood bought is a mental one. In other words, 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5 talks about our warfare isn't carnal, but mighty through God to what? The pulling down of strongholds. Casting down every thought and high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing it into obedience to Christ. See, Cain had a choice to bring that thought into obedience to the Lord. He did not have to go that way, but he chose to go that way. All right. How does Satan do it? Fake news, aka propaganda. He's been using the same tactic from the very beginning. It just got accelerated during World War II with Hitler's propaganda machine. And then they brought it to the United States back in the 50s or early 40s. All right. Ephesians 4, let's look at that right quick. Verse 17. I'm sure Jackie's probably seen it, but there's a little clip of a woman that was with she was the assistant or something of Wernher von Braun, who was the Nazi scientist that came over and started NASA. And before his death, I think he must have had a come to Jesus moment, because he told her, he said, it's all a scam, it's all a lie. He said, and talked to her about the fake alien invasion that they're going to try to do. He said, just remember, it's all a lie. It's all a scam. And on his tombstone was Psalms 19. Keep your finger there. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. That was on his tombstone. The man knew about the flat earth. He knew about the firmament. Even Hillary Clinton makes statements about, we've tried to break that glass ceiling. We've put some dents in it. They've been trying to break the glass ceiling for a long time. That's the firmament. It's like a molten looking glass, the scripture says. Other stuff is coming out about flat earth. It's starting to really kind of come to the surface again. The truth about it. You know, this is essential for people to realize we are an enclosed structure. There are no aliens coming from other galaxies. Not even Palladians and Medbeds up there waiting to just beam you up, Scotty, and just take care of everything for you. No, it's all the biggest line of baloney that the world's ever seen or known. From the magician himself. What do magicians do? They trick you. Okay, 4:17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. We see this going on all around us. Who being past feeling have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye may put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. See, this is the stuff that people are going to have to learn. Because you hear the nastiest, the most awful, the most putrid stuff. If you're on any social media at all, you can't help but come across it. It's horrible. And I'm thinking, who are these people? They've just come out of the cracks and crannies out of everywhere. I think it's because of the internet. They were probably there all along, but all of this is exposed and they've all come to the surface. The tares are right on top of the wheat. All right. Matthew 6, it's your choice, whatever master you choose. It has appeared that the seed of the serpent nearly won. You do have to admit they are wiser. This is Luke 16:8. I've never quite understood what the Lord meant by this, but maybe now I'm starting to get a little understanding. This is Luke 16, verse 8. They came real close to taking us completely down. Luke 16:8 says, "And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light." There you go, church. There you are. There you sit. Powerless. Children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Don't know how to blow the fuzz off a peanut. Don't know how to use the name of Jesus. Don't know how to pray. Run to the world for everything. I'll tell you, the children of the darkness have been very wise. You cannot look at their operation and what they've done and how they so infiltrated. I heard a deal, it's Laura Loomer talking about. Their agenda is to, they hate God. And the most precious thing next to God are the children. And to give as much pain and suffering to those children as they can, they're hurting God. That's their agenda right there. There's the whole thing in a nutshell. They don't care about riches and all of that. They hate God. And that's Satan's goal. I will ascend to the Most High. I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. And the Lord said, no, you won't. You're going to the pit. But look how close they came. Outwitted and outplayed. Absolutely. I want to read you an article. I just wrote here this, Agenda of the Sons of Cain. This is a woman back in, let's see, I thought, it's in, I think it's so little I can't see. This was something like 12 years ago. She kept the paper. It's the Sovereign Independent Newspaper. Depopulation through forced vaccination, the zero carbon solution. Way back then, they're pushing this agenda out. Well, I did it on two sides, so let me. All right. The original article was first published, it's 2011, in the Sovereign Independent in June 2011. The lady in the image above was astute enough to keep a hold of the original printed newspaper. The link for free download is at the bottom of this article. Depopulation through Forced Vaccination, the Zero Carbon Solution by Rachel Windeer. This was published June 2011. On April 26, 2009, the Irish Independent published an article titled Concern for Children's Health as Parents Ignoring Vaccines. Adele Kennedy, I don't know who that is, you should be ashamed of yourself. I don't know if that's Ethel. They put E-D-E-L. This is nothing less than an attempt by government through their puppets in the media to remove the rights of parents to determine the life choices of their offspring and removes any doubt that we now live in a dictatorship. This is an outrageous insult to every parent in the country who has the common sense to reach the efficacy of vaccines themselves by simply looking at the historical record rather than trust politicians who lie. In the media, including those perpetrated by the Department of Health under Mary Harney regarding the farce of swine flu and the dangerous myth of HPC vaccination have led the country into the abyss of utter poverty and sold the country into the communist grasp of European bureaucrats whose sole aim is the destruction of every member nation's sovereignty, leaving them clutching at the bailout begging bowl of the IMF. Vaccines are a fraud, pure and simple. I've always hated shots. I remember screaming with all my might, pulling away from whoever had my arm to getting away from those vaccines. The historical record proves this for anyone with a little patience and the courage to investigate the facts for themselves, and it does take courage, especially for those in the medical profession whose careers will be at risk if they dare expose this danger to our children. It also shatters their illusions that they're part of an organization which is far from beneficial to those they believe they're protecting from illness. However, their Hippocratic Oath should compel them to investigate such wild claims put out by pharmaceutical giants and their drug dealer sales representatives instead of taking the word of an industry well known as being utterly corrupt and ruthless in its business practices. The Irish hemophiliac scandal, where patients were knowingly infected with HIV through contaminated blood. Products should be enough to convince anyone of Big Pharma's murderous intent. This brings us to the real reasons for vaccinations. I'm not even going to prove to readers that they don't work. I'll simply urge you to look up the historical record. One simple example is the demise of measles. The measles death rate had declined by 98% from 1915 to 1958 prior to any vaccination being introduced. In 1988 and 1989, 69% and 89% for measles cases in American school age had been vaccinated for something that was nearly gone anyway. 1955, 56% of all measles cases in America were vaccinated. These figures come from medical journals. Those three simple examples prove that unvaccinated children are less likely to contract measles and that the vaccine was useless. Look that up for yourself. All other vaccine claims that they are cured or eliminated disease follow a similar pattern. Better hygiene, clean water, and good healthy food was the cause of the decline, and any doctor worth his smelling salts should have known that, which I don't know that I even agree with that. If they don't, then they are misinformed on a grand scale or they're in complete denial. Therein lies the problem. Why have doctors been indoctrinated to believe that vaccines are the sacred cow of medicine when the historical record clearly shows that they are virtually useless? Hold on to your sanity because I have some more bad news for you. The real reason for vaccinations, apart from the massive profits to the manufacturers, is to ensure that you get sick throughout your life. Again, not only to enrich these same corporations that made you sick, but to ensure that many, if not all of you, die before you ever receive your pension and when you are no longer of any use to society. That's why they want you retiring later in life and are forcing you through economic terrorism to work longer, regardless of your age or health. They literally want to work you to death. If you don't work, you will be classed as a burden to society, a financial cost which society has to bear, and therefore you will be stigmatized as a useless eater, a consumer of resources needed for the rest of society. When Big Pharma can no longer profit from the illness that they gave you, you will be left to die. This is the depopulation agenda promoted under the United Nations Divisions of Population under the Department of Economic and Social Affairs. We only need look at Africa, the nation which the United Nations has said themselves could feed the world. They're so rich in resources. Why then are millions of Africans starving to death on their continent? It's meant to be that way. All of us at one time or another have been led to believe in the efficacy of vaccines. I was one of them and had my child vaccinated nearly 35 years ago. I wouldn't even dream of it now. I think it's safe to say that we're all aware of the real pandemic as opposed to the fake pandemics of the past. It's called cancer. Autism is also at crisis pandemic levels all across the world where mass vaccination programs exist. Used to it were like 1 in 10,000 children had autism. Now it's just like 3 out of 10. I mean, it's real. It's because of vaccinations. And so many vaccinations. We had a handful. Kids today might have 100. I'm telling you, it's awful. All right. All right. Prior to mass vaccination, cancers were extremely rare as an almost non-existent today in the Western so-called developed world. We face a crisis of cancer to the extent that between 1 in 5 to 1 in 2 will suffer, many dying from one form of cancer or another. How it happened to cause this pandemic? Well, we know who's already taken cancer on their back, so we'll just leave that. We only have to look back at the Jonas Salk polio vaccine that went around the world in the full knowledge that it contained the SV40 virus, which had no other purpose than causing cancer, yet it was pushed as a vaccine for polio when, as with measles, polio was well in decline prior to any vaccine due to the interstage right at the TED 2010 conference. Now, I know we had what was in the sugar cubes. That was really nothing, but what they developed later was that shot. That's what they're talking about. Mr. Bill Gates, head of Microsoft, the biggest computer firm on the planet. What has Bill Gates to do with vaccines, you're wondering? See the quote in the above image. Those are exact words. You're beginning to get the picture. I didn't get the quote, sorry. The globalist elite care nothing for humanity. Ordinary men and women and children must be eliminated in their delusional minds to ensure that their superior types go into the future with the best of breeding, being the only criteria worthy of saving. You and I are no longer required, and that is why we are seeing the loss of our economy, our wealth, our health, our happiness, and ultimately our lives. Now you know the Georgia Guidestones. This is exactly the Georgia Guidestones, the depopulation. What is the agenda? 20... Is it 2020 and 2030? Yeah. In 2020, look where we are now with Gates still calling the shots. All right. So I want you to understand here, none of this is innocent. This is the seed war. The sons of Cain, or whatever you want to call them, they're bent on taking us out. The devil hates God. All right, let's keep going here. I want us to pray a prayer of repentance for yielding to the other master in the past and ask God to restore us. And I want y'all to repeat this after me. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus and ask you to forgive us for falling asleep and allowing the seed of the serpent to fill the earth on our watch. We are now awake and aware of all his works and all the works of these evil ones. And we're ready to stand our ground. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to forgive our sins and heal our bodies. Thank you for restoring anything in our minds and bodies that needs to be restored while we were asleep. All right. Revelation 9:21. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor their fornication, nor of their thefts. This is Big Pharma. They had a choice. They were given a choice, and they didn't repent. That's what it says in the book of Revelation. All right, Revelation 18:21. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman or whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Strong's here, the word sorcery. We've been through this before, but we're going through it again. The Lord wants you to know it again. He wants you to get it ingrained in your mind. You've got to come out of it. Sorceries, 5:31, 5:3:31, medication, pharmacy, magic, witchcraft. Galatians 5:20, the word witchcraft, work of the flesh, same meaning. Medication, pharmacy, magic, witchcraft. The vine says witchcraft, pharmakia, English pharmacy, primarily signified the use of medicine, drugs, spells, poisoning. In sorcery, the use of drugs, whether simple or potent, was generally accompanied by incantations and appeals to occult powers, with the provision of various charms, amulets, etc., designed to keep the applicant or patient from the intention and power of demons, but actually to impress the applicant with the mysterious resources and powers of the sorcerer. There's an agenda behind it. It's to get you all hooked up with the devil. Now we're going to look at an example of this. Paul dealt with one such person in Acts chapter 8. Called him a child of the devil. You think it's innocent? It is not. It is deadly. I think that we're going to be astounded at the numbers of the people that really have been affected by all this. Or then again, maybe it's just all a bad movie. I hope that's the case. Acts 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. See, this is one of the seed of Cain, right here. But he was converted. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. The people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. He's a local doctor. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now you know why all these miracles are happening. By the name of Jesus, people were being healed. This is the alternative, y'all, or this was really what we're supposed to do. So I don't understand why people are still going to Simon the sorcerer. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. He said, man, this method's even better. I can make more money now with this method than that method. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. See, we got an apostle on the scene, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power, that on whosoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, here's a stronghold over these people. Pharmakia. Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. See, he exposed this sorcerer that was deceiving the people, taking all their money. Probably no better, grew worse. And here comes the apostles in there. Here comes signs and wonders and people getting healed. And they start following the apostles and leaves old Simon in the dark. Now you know why the church is so infiltrated too. Because you know what? There ain't been no power in the church. Nothing to speak of. A few, yes, here and there. As Danny had a word about, yes, there are some have done it right. But most have not. They all think God uses pharmakia. Well, I'm telling you, I believe if he were standing here today, he'd say, I don't. I won't. Why would I use the method of the devil? This is how they've bewitched us all. Galatians 5:20. Witchcraft. This is a work of the flesh. Okay. Again, a choice. Again, a choice. All right, 1 Samuel 5:23. I think today this is a watering of seed already planted. 5:23 for rebellion. When we don't obey God's word, is that rebellion? Yeah, you bet. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. Yeah. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. He hath also rejected thee from being king. People think it's just, oh, you know. All right. Father, all right, we got another thing I want y'all to say. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we renounce all witchcraft and sorcery. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for delivering us from evil. We are the sons of God, not the sons of Cain. That's right. All right, 1 Timothy 6. Sometimes the Holy Spirit's got to kick your backside up between your shoulder blades and kind of wake you up and shake you a little bit, because you know you can hear things, and then months pass, maybe even years, and then you get kind of complacent, kind of fall back into your old mindsets and old traits. Old ways of thinking. We got to be rejuvenated. We need the aquavelva moment. All right, 1 Timothy 6, 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. The temple of this so-called science are called hospitals. Okay, Revelation 17. I knew, you know, all my life I hated anything to do with any of it. And I didn't understand why I felt that way, because other people I knew, they were at the doctor's office for everything, all the time. Trusted these people to go in and cut on them and do things to them. I remember hearing the story when I first started looking into stuff. This man said he went in for surgery. And this doctor and these couple of nurses in there tormented him on the table and tried to get him to renounce his faith. They threatened him. You're there in that vulnerable state with that gas on you, and you can't do anything for yourself, and God knows what they've done to people. Let's hope that there's been some noble ones that have really got the right heart, trying to do the right thing. Now, Danny just talked to a relative that one of their grandkids is going to go be a doctor. I'm thinking, oh my God, and I had this. I thought, another sorcerer. Help us, Lord. All right, Revelation 17. You think the people at the top that teach that stuff don't know what they're doing? Yes, they know exactly what they're doing. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet. You know where the origination, where vaccines came from? The Vatican. They were decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. Yeah, them drug reps, man, they make bunches of money. Having a gold cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication, upon her head was a name written mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, false prophet. And I saw the woman drunk. Well, God uses medicine. You know, that, you know. I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Yeah. This is her. All right, Revelation 18. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. And he cried with mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, it's become the habitation of devils and the hunt of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Make you sick and keep you sick. Take every dime you have. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. What are they doing with this vaccines? They're giving people illnesses. Athletes are dying of myocarditis on the field. I've heard undertakers talk about we're having to buy mass quantum, never before, of caskets for babies and little ones. It's targeting the children and the young adults. Why? They bear children. Depopulation. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. We see this playing out right now. Gas, in some places, nearly $10 a gallon. Taking out the trucking lanes, putting restrictions on independent truckers now. They can't take their goods. You have to be part of this corporation if you want these goods shipped now. You can't do that if you're a private, have your own private company to do so in some places. What are they doing? Starve you out. Make you sick. Devil's agenda. Kill, steal, destroy. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues, for her sins have reached unto heaven. You know what happens when those sins reach to heaven? Fire and brimstone. Fire and brimstone. Sodom and Gomorrah. Days of Noah. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works, and the cup which she hath filled to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. All their industries going up in flames, everything they made money on. Standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great Babylon, that city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones, of pearls, fine linen, purple and silk and scarlet, all fine wood, all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood, of brass and iron and marble. See, we're going to pick up the slack, guys. It's going to, and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat. Hits about everything, doesn't it? And beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. This is the Vatican, y'all. For in 1 hour, so great riches is come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors, as many as trade by sea, stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that its ships in the sea by reason of their costliness. Admiralty maritime law going down. For in 1 hour she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. Here comes the payback. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee, and O craftsman, or whatsoever craft he be, shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. In other words, all their corporations, all their businesses, they're going to be shut. They're gone. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. All the electric companies that have taken free energy that God meant for this planet to produce for every human person, and they've made money on it. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee, and for the merchants of the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Big pharma. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and all that were slain upon the earth. It's their fault. They caused every death through these methods. All right. The three city states, the Vatican, so-called spiritual head of this unholy triangle, the false prophet, the vaccine agenda, started with them, with the Vatican. All right, now to go to Revelation 13. Gotta have a drink. I'm just going to read 11 and 12. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. He looks holy with that white robe of righteousness, but he's wearing red shoes because of the blood of the children on his feet. All right. White robes appear righteous, red shoes from the killing fields. London, behold, the tax man cometh. That's the IRS. D.C., the military, continual wars. They've sent our young men to wars to die. This is part of the depopulation. Why always young? Because they can reproduce. You have to understand their agenda. Kill, steal, destroy. All right. What is the agenda of the unholy trinity? Same as Satan's. Kill, steal, destroy. So let's quit dabbling around the pharmacy industry, the medicine industry, and realize you know too much now. You can't just let it go. See, we walk by faith. Whoever needs to hear that, maybe someone will hear this that never heard it before and will say, my gosh. All right, I'm going to leave it there.